The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Let's switch gears as the NFL draft quickly approaches. One of my favorite followers, both on social media and the work he does covering the draft, is Matt Miller from ESPN. NFL draft analyst is kind enough to join us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Matt, we appreciate the time. How are you?
Doing well, guys. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for coming on. All right, we got a lot of ground to cover. Let's start at the top. Carolina now at number one. Based on what I'm hearing, and I don't know whatever that means, that it sounds like C.J. Stroud over Bryce Young would be their lean at this point. Do you agree?
I agree. I think it's a better scheme fit for what they're trying to do in Carolina with Frank Reich, Jim Caldwell, Josh McCown, all the great offensive minds they've assembled there in Carolina. It feels to me like C.J. Stroud pushed himself ahead of Bryce Young at the combine. I think size matters at quarterback. 5'10 to 6'3. It's a pretty big difference. We're not talking about like 6'1 versus 6'2, right? It's a pretty wild difference. So I think Stroud, following that great combine workout, the great college football playoff game against Georgia, he's putting himself up there.
So do you think there's a scenario where the four quarterbacks, Stroud and Young that we talked about, and then Levis and Richardson, is there a world where four go in the top five or six picks with some teams moving up?
Oh, yeah. I think that's likely. Like, I would say that's the most likely scenario right now. So quarterback at one, quarterback at two, the Cardinals are sitting there holding, you know, just this treasure chest of draft capital at three, and they can either take Will Anderson or they can trade out. I mean, Indy, if they stay at four, that's a quarterback. I think Seattle at five at least has to consider it. Same with Detroit at six, same with Vegas at seven, and really Atlanta at eight. Like, the almost every team in the top eight except for Arizona could take a quarterback.
Yeah, it's not provocative at all. I mean, you don't trade all the way up, but there's nothing but a quarterback. So after one, I could see Will Anderson being two or three, or give me the, quote, free fall for Will Anderson. What does that mean, like six?
five, six. He's just too good. I think what's happened with Will Anderson is we're all like prisoners of the moment. And you know, it's probably why people like myself have a job in this industry. It's okay, but let's not forget that over the last 3 years, like, who was the best player in college football if you could cumulatively the last 3 years?
Will Anderson.
And it's not close, nope. Right? It's not close at all. So I see it as, I mean, I thought Chicago should have taken him at one. I think you can make an argument for Houston taking him at two and trying to trade up from 12 for a quarterback. If he's there at Arizona at three, I think that's where you have a really, like, you got a new GM in there, a new head coach. The one thing you want to do as a general manager with your very first draft pick is make sure you hit on it. I'll never forget learning that from a GM who went to a brand new team, first time as a GM, and he said, I can't miss on this pick. No matter what happens, this pick has to be a good player. So I always think about that. And for me with Arizona, it's like you've got to restart everything there. I know there's going to be talk about trading back. The value is probably not going to be great because you're probably moving back one spot or two spots. I might just say, you know what, we're good. We'll just take Will Anderson and we'll start the rebuild this way.
Matt Miller's with us, ESPN Draft Insider, with Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Now, you might not have thought about this, but I wanted to kind of frame it this way for the Falcon fan listening. If they stay with Desmond Ridder as their starter and don't take a quarterback at eight, compare Desmond with this group of quarterbacks, whatever that means, makeup or arm strength or accuracy, compared to the top three or four quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah, I didn't love Ridder. I'll be honest about that. I thought he was very robotic and, you know, didn't have any – what I would consider, like, what was his elite trait? Is that he was like, he won a ton of games. He was a good leader, but he didn't have an elite arm. He didn't have elite mobility. You know, it's just like everything was good. Nothing was great. So I think with this quarterback class, like, obviously I would have CJ Stroud or Bryce Young comfortably ahead of him. I think Will Levis, it's probably like you could maybe start to have a conversation there about those guys. You know, like, okay, well, Will Levis, there's some wrinkles to the game that aren't great. And could watch five throws where he looks like, you know, the next great quarterback, you can watch the next five throws where he looks like he's never going to be able to get on the field. So, and with Anthony Richardson, it's the same way. The ceiling is through the roof good, but the floor is pretty low. You know, he's going to struggle if he doesn't get better. So I think with Ridder, the things that you did like about him last year was that you knew exactly where he was. You know, you knew exactly what kind of guy you were getting. You wish the accuracy had been a little bit better at times. You know, the fumbles, I think, drove his stock down a little bit, but I pulled it up. I had him ranked number 50 overall. So I had like a solid starter grade on him. My comp was Ryan Tannehill. It's like I expected him to be good, not great, you know, and I think that can be elevated with play around you. He's got a very good offensive line in front of him. You've got a good running back behind you. You've got some weapons at receiver if everybody can stay healthy. So I think that's where you can look at Ridder and say, how does he play better than that ranking we gave him? And it's scheme and talent around you.
I've got rules. You take a corner in the top five, he better be Deion or Darrell Revis. If you take a guy who's going to play guard like Skoronski, he better be Hutchinson or Alan Faneca or somebody. And like, all right, now he's in the Hall of Fame. I'm not kidding. If I'm doing that at eight, he better be a badass from day one. Is that Skoronski?
Yes, I do. I think it is. I'm with you. Like, that's a good rule. You need to name that rule so we can easily apply it. Right. I'm that way. You know? Yeah. I mean, if you take a corner in the top five, they need to play like Sauce Gardner did last year.
Yeah.
You know, like you need to get day one, like, all right, that's the dude. Or, if you take a guard in the top five, I remember Brandon Scherff when he went to Washington back in the day. He was a top five pick. And he was just like, okay, yep, that's what it's supposed to look like. Or Quentin Nelson when he went to the Colts. Like, yep, that's what we're getting. So I think Skoronski can be that way. He plays so tough, so physical. Like, he's just a mauler. And at left tackle, a lot of times you expect finesse play. That is not him. Like, my guy will just run people over. And so I think he's a really, really good player, comparable to Ike Ekwonu last year, who went to Carolina. I think Skoronski can be that. And I know there's going to be conversations about arm length. Is he a tackle? Is he a guard? Obviously, if you play him at guard, I think he can be an all-pro.
Matt, let's do the Jalen Carter discussion because there's a lot of layers to it. Your colleague at ESPN, Todd McShay, talked about character issues, and he's backed it up by talking about all the sources he's had on it. So I'm curious the intel you had on Jalen before the car accident, and what are you hearing about where he could land when this is all said and done?
Yeah, I mean, there was smoke, you know, to the talk. And I know, you know, Todd has been, I think, largely vindicated by, you know, what he said. And people on Twitter were not very nice about it, as they usually aren't. But obviously, you know, new things have come to light. But I think, you know, before the accident, before the, you know, arrest, a lot of the talk was, this is a unique personality that might take a strong leader around him. Obviously, they've had that at Georgia. So I think, and that's not uncommon. You know, like a lot of those conversations don't make it to the public, but those aren't uncommon conversations amongst scouts of, you know, hey, this guy might be, it's just like, you know, if you're in an office and you work with 53 people, there's going to be guys where you're like, okay, we kind of got to ride him a little bit to get him to show up to meetings on time, or, you know, get his TPS reports turned in. Like there's just a lot of different personalities, right? So I think with Jalen Carter, that was the question was, all right, you know, is he a self-motivator? What's his football character like? Is he driven on his own? Does he work hard on his own? Or is he going to need somebody to make sure he's in the right place at the right time? Those are somewhat, you know, normal conversations. What happens now? This is unprecedented. It really is. I mean, I saw, you know, I think we all saw he, you know, pleaded guilty and it pays the fine, does community service, and they can't ever charge him with anything further. I think if you're an NFL team, that's what you wanted to happen. You wanted the outcome to be, this is not going to be hanging over his head throughout his rookie season. This is not going to be hanging over our head as we head into the season. It's over, done with. Happened before he was drafted here. You know, you kind of dust your hands off and move on. I think what compounds that is the really bad pro day performance that was, you know, widely criticized by scouts and media members who were there. So there are a lot of layers, like you said.
Well, but let me stop you there, Matt. I want to stop because here's the question from the Falcon perspective. Without the bad pro day, without the character stuff, we're not even having a talk about him at eight. I still don't know if I'm even buying that he slips that far, whatever slips means. But is there a world where at number eight, when they're on the clock, where Jalen Carter's there?
I don't think so. And that's what I was going to say next is, like, we can talk all day about, gosh, you know, the tragedy that he was, you know, at the bad pro day workout and the reports about, you know, maybe maybe his personality is a little prickly. You could say all that, and you could still say he was the best player in the draft. So I think that's the part that you have to – you always go back to of, gosh, he's really talented. And a lot of it's going to depend on what Kirby Smart and his staff have to say about Jalen Carter. I still think he'll be a top 10 pick. Is he there at 8? Probably not. I have a hard time seeing Seattle and Detroit, two teams that were in the playoffs, remember? And now they have top 10 picks because of trades. I have a hard time looking at Seattle who says, you know what, with San Francisco having the quarterback issues they have, we might be the best team in this division. So we could draft a project at quarterback at 5, or we could draft arguably the best player in the draft and go try to win this division. For me, that's a pretty easy decision. I think I would go with the defensive tackle and try to win the division.
Yeah, I would agree. Matt Miller with us finishing up ESPN Draft Insider. Let me ask you about Nolan Smith, who had the off-the-charts combine, combined with just the kid he is and the career he had. How much did he help himself?
Yeah, a lot. Some of it's just reminding folks who you are, you know, because he had missed time with the pec injury. You knew how special of a person he was because anybody at Georgia will tell you, right? They bring it up without you asking, you know? So you knew the character was great, that you're getting a leader. But I think reminding people of, hey, there's a reason I was talked about as one of the most dominant players in college football before the injury. I think he'll be a top 20 pick, maybe earlier. You know, the only question mark is, where does he fit at that size? But we've seen guys like Hassan Reddick, you know, Leonard Floyd was a leaner guy, a little bit bigger, but also leaner. You know, we've seen people have success at that size now with the way the game's going. So I'm a big Nolan Smith fan. I cannot wait to see where he lands and get to see him healthy again, honestly.
Finally, I've seen some big boards that think Bijan Robinson's the best player in the draft, but the position is the position. How much is that going to affect where he goes? And is he a top 10 pick for somebody?
He's my number 3 overall player. He will not be the number 3 overall pick. And I've had a hard time like explaining that to people. Like my big board is just who are the best players. You know, like it's not a mock draft. Those things live independent of each other. Where he gets drafted, I think, is after Jalen Carter, probably the most interesting landing spot in the first round. Because could Philly take him at 10? Like I actually think they could, you know, say, hey, man, like this is a generational prospect who's sitting here at 10. We lost Miles Sanders. We've got a couple guys who are decent. But to me, Bijan is – I just got off a call where I said this. He's a better Zeke. He's a better Saquon because, like, they had question marks coming out that he just doesn't have, whether it be off the field or what he does as a pass catcher, you know, how he contributes in a blocking game. You know, Saquon didn't break a lot of tackles. Bijan just set a record for, you know, forced broken tackles in a season. So, to me, he's a no-brainer, safest player in this draft, but he's a running back, so he'll probably fall to the late teens, early 20s.
Matt, I hope we can have you on before the draft. Just a big fan of the work you do. You guys can follow Matt on Twitter and also check out his work at ESPN and ESPN.com. Matt Miller, thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate it very much. I love that. Like, he's one of those two or three guys that I think are just phenomenal with the draft intel, and I agree with what he said on Jalen. I can't see a world where he's on the board at 8. If it happened, I think it would be a steal of the draft, as you could say, for the Falcons.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a 3-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com and then call us for a free in-home consultation.